About 2 years ago, I attended a friend's church. His name is Tim Olson, and Tim's been a friend of mine for years. He used to be a missionary to Japan, he and his wife, Janet. And Tim was preaching on the Ten Commandments, and I found myself just fascinated. So since then, I've had some chats with Tim, and I just wanted to thank Tim for those discussions and the help he gave me in preparing this series. We are into a 10-week series, 10-plus weeks, actually, as we talk about those commandments that God gave us. And when one looks at the Bible, especially the Old Testament, we see all these rules and regulations, festivals and sacrifices. We all see all sorts of instructions, and many of them we don't relate to. They seem almost confusing as we look at them. Very confusing, actually. And Paul's letter tells us that we are free from the law. As you read the New Testament, we see we're free from the law and that we live under grace. But still, we're confused. And so I thought I would take a little bit of it. And we have the Ten Commandments, but we also have a whole bunch of other rules. And I'm going to talk about those as the laws of Moses. So we have the laws of God, the laws of Moses. They are all in God's Scripture. They are all holy. But some of them are unique, and we'll talk about that as I share some contrasts of the law of God and the law of Moses. So the law of God is given in Exodus 20. The law of Moses is given in Exodus 21 through 23, and also the book of Leviticus. The law of God is referred to by Paul in Romans 7, and the law of Moses is referred by Jesus in John 7. The law of God was given to more than 2 million people audibly. The law of Moses was given to Moses privately. The law of God was written by God directly. Matter of fact, Exodus 31 tells us he wrote it with his finger. The law of Moses was recorded by Moses. The law of God was preserved in an ark. The law of Moses was not. The law of God is for all people inclusively. The law of Moses is for the Jews exclusively. Acts 15 tells us, as we talked about, that believers are not under the law, specifically not under the law of Moses. So why would we ever consider those laws? Why would we even think about studying them or considering them? Well, first, when we read about these festivals, the sacrifices, the regulations, even the ordinances, we gain insight into who Jesus Christ is, because they all point to Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. So it's valuable for that. And secondly, we study the law because it drives us, it even directs us, that as we see how we're not able to keep the requirements of the law. It drives us. The law drives us to Jesus Christ. It directs us in how we should live our lives. So studying all the laws are beneficial, but understand some of them are especially strong. In Scripture, we find the Ten Commandments twice, as was noted. We find it first in Exodus 20, but right after the Israelites have left Egypt and their life of slavery, and they meet at the foot of Sinai, Mount Sinai. And again, 40 years later, just before they go into the Promised Land, Moses again, right at the end of his life actually, shares those Ten Commandments again. They had 40 years to wander in the desert. We're going to talk about Sinai a little bit. I've been to Mount Sinai. I've climbed Mount Sinai. It's about 3,000 miles long. 3,000 miles, 3,000 feet high, and that would be a big mountain. And it is an area, if you go to a desert, it really is desert. There is no bushes or anything. It is just rock and sand and dirt, and it's a very big mountain there. It is climbing 3,000 feet, and that's just my guess. I didn't look it up. It's just, as I climbed up, it was quite a ways up there. That's the setting as the people of Israel gathered around. God's presented in the Ten Commandments really as our sovereign Lord. It shows promise and commitment, a covenant relationship between two parties, mutual responsibilities is really what we see. We see a commitment from a faithful God for deliverance for his people. And we also see a commitment from his people to obey. And it's not just for Israel, but it's for all of us by extension. To many people, God is like a cosmic cop. I mean, if you were to go out there and ask people what they think about God, a lot of them will think, well, he's the guy up there, looks down and just wants me not to have any fun. You look at the Ten Commandments, it's full of do's and don'ts. Thou shalt not this and thou shalt not that. There's so many rules. And, you know, we like living in freedom. Especially in this country, we value freedom. So what would the world look like without order and rules? And just a couple examples I thought of. Traffic. What would traffic look like without rules? As I was driving through Sioux City yesterday and the street lights were out, the traffic lights were out, it made me think of the sermon we're going to talk about today. It would be a mess. And I'm from a guy from the Seattle area. I know what mess is, and it would even be worse than that. We have a guest from Maple Valley where I went to grade school and high school. So welcome, Debbie's sister, I forget your name.
Barb.
It was good to meet you, Barb. Sorry, I forgot your name. But it was good to have you here. So traffic would definitely be a mess. How about this next one? If you had no rules, what would this look like? Football. I figure it'd kind of look a little bit like rugby, worse. Maybe a cage boxing match or something. It'd be fairly brutal to have any kind of sports without rules or regulations to provide order. And then we have this next picture. The word we learned first, no. Every child learns it very early on, the word no. So we're regulated. I came across some research which totally fascinated me. According to Barna Research Group, 60% of Americans can't name even 5 of the Ten Commandments. I would think we do a little better than that, I would hope. And only 14 can accurately name all 10 commandments, only 14%. Yet 78% of all Americans want public displays of the 10 commandments, 78. It's kind of ironic when you think about it. Not just are the 10 commandments being taken out of our courts, out of our schools, out of the moral fiber of our country, but it's actually disappearing from the hearts and minds of our people. That's the saddest part. So for the next 10 weeks, we're going to take each of the commandments and talk about them. But before we do that, I wanted to take a Sunday and just look at general truths as they relate to the 10 commandments. The first thing is, the motive behind the Ten Commandments is love. That needs to be deeply embedded in your understanding of the Ten Commandments. God's motivation starts from love. Exodus 20, verses 1 and 2, and God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. God spoke these words. He has the authority. God is a God of grace and truth. You could say his very essence is of absolute integrity. And aren't we glad our guide to this life, how we live this life, is given to us by this loving, merciful God and not by something put together by human thought. We can find peace as we gather around putting our faith and hope solidly in a sovereign God. Deuteronomy 7:9, a few books later from Exodus. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. So our response back to God is to obey him, to be obedient. As we look to fulfill our part of the promise, of the covenant with God, it reflects his initiation to love us. 1 John 5, you should all be very familiar with that since we just got done with the letters of the Apostle John, verses 2 and 3. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. The Apostle John knows. He understood. But another important thing, another truth about the Ten Commandments is we should appreciate the influence that the Ten Commandments have had. Whether you're a Christian or not, you have to think that the Bible is just a good way to live life, but especially the Ten Commands are basic components of how we love God and treat others. Our country's forefathers thought this. They incorporated the Ten Commandments into the legal system. They saw it as a truth for all mankind to live under. We can be very thankful for that. The influence of the Ten Commandments are evident in their just how much they're located around the Supreme Court. You can see them. We have a couple pictures outside the Supreme Court, I think from the eastern view. As you look at the top, you can see Moses with the two scrolls. Go ahead and do a little closer shot there. Yeah, do you see the picture? There's Moses sitting on the throne with the Ten Commandments on either side. That's on the Supreme Court. So if you... He's not just outside the building, but he's also inside the building. He's also engraved on the chair of the Chief Justice, and on the door of the court are the Ten Commandments. And you can see them throughout the land in the legal institutions and in schools. I have some pictures of that, just some random pictures. There's a Capitol building with the Ten Commandments outside. The next one, another one, a monument of the Ten Commandments scrolls. Another one of a county courthouse. And here's a courtroom with right behind the justices is a huge plaque of the listings of the Ten Commandments you see behind there. Josh McDowell stated the Ten Commandments represent the most famous codification of absolute truth in the history of humanity. Interesting, the placement of the tablets of the Ten Commandments were kept inside the Ark of the Covenant. You can see them in there with the pottery of manna that was kept there, the rod of Aaron with a stemming leaf, and then the Ten Commandments were kept there. And it's also found in synagogues, as is numerous times in churches, the Ten Commandments, as we see in that picture there. So as Christians, we can be most thankful that as followers of the book, we are living in a society that, up until today at least, has been following those commandments. We find comfort in the words of God's word as it teaches us how to live our lives. Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2 reads, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the Lord, law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." From the New Testament, Galatians 3, 23 and 25. "Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian." Of course, we're not under a guardian, but we have a responsibility in ourselves to do the right things and to follow the right principles. Number 3 of the 4 I'm going to be reading, obey the Ten Commandments to have good relationships. The commandments are based on love, the eternal love that was expressed throughout the Bible. Of the Ten Commandments, the first 4 are centered on the vertical relationship with God. Let's put up the next slide, Steve. And the next 6 are relationship to man. So the first 4, do not worship God, do not worship any other gods, do not make any idols, do not misuse the name of God, keep the Sabbath holy, is focused on our vertical relationship with God. The other 6, honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet. Our focus on our horizontal relationship with those around us. It's very practical for us. Mark 12 restates an Old Testament passage when Jesus was asked, but of all the commandments, what's the most important? And I know a lot of you know this. And Jesus said, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second one is this. Love your neighbors as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And we picture that as we visualize the scrolls. Now, we don't know for sure if they were divided on the actual scrolls that way. We just know there were two different scrolls. But it's a great way to remember them as you think of the Ten Commandments. Romans 12:18 says very briefly, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And we need absolute truth to help us do that. The last truth I'm going to read, number 4, be thankful we are not under the law, but under grace. This is an issue that has often been brought up with me. Matter of fact, just in the last week or so, someone said, yeah, I don't live under the law. I live in a time of grace, the grace of Jesus Christ. And I told my friend, well, that's true. But understand, Jesus did not come to wipe out, take away the law. He came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. Jesus came to complete God's plan for redemption for his people. The law was given to guide us, to direct us in how we should live. How we should live with God and how we should live with each other. The Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, chapter 6, it reads in verses 13 and 14, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. This next one's a little long, but it really speaks to some of the specifics. It's from Paul's letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, and then 15 through 16. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. And I can tell Paul was thinking about those who go too far with it, become legalistic there. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexual immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders, liars, and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. In verse 15, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I want to say, Paul, really? He's saying he was the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. I imagine Paul carried some guilt around. Just how he treated Christians. He looked to kill them, to persecute them, to make them suffer. And he felt that every day of his life as he experienced the grace of God in his life. And one of the most refreshing verses in the Bible that speaks to each of us directly, Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners. These are some of the verses the Lord launched his earthly ministry at, as we read in the New Testament, were those phrases exactly. You see, God wants his people free, not bound up by sin. He wants us to discover life for the fullest. That includes a life in this world as well as eternity. So as you look at this overview we have today, as you look at these four truths, the first one, the motive behind the Ten Commandments is love. We need to appreciate the influence of the Ten Commandments, especially in the society we live, at least for now. Number three, we need to obey the Ten Commandments to have good relationships with God and with those around us. And number four, we need to be thankful we are not under the law, but we are under God's grace. The words that were read earlier were great. I thank the team for doing that. You all did very well reading. You know, I always find it interesting when we read a 3:16 passage because it reminds me of John 3:16. Well, we have another pattern I look at. I call the 2020 perspective, because in Exodus chapter 20, verse 20, it reads, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." Test is a good thing here. He has come to help us prepare to know how to live life well, not to test us, to punish us. We tend to do that well ourselves, to test us so we can be prepared, so we can handle our life in this fallen world. You've heard me say it often. Fear of God is where wisdom starts. Really, knowledge starts there. The fear of God, but a healthy fear of God. Not one where you're scared to death. One where you have more than just respect. You understand the holiness of God and how unholy you are. But at the same time, in that fear of God, knowing who God is, that a loving God reached down to save all of us, to provide a way for us to live with Him forever. A God who is rich in love and mercy, who wants to liberate us from the bondage of sin. See, it's a choice we all make. We actually make it every day. When you accept Jesus Christ the first time, you are justified immediately. But we still live in a fallen world. We're still tempted by sin. But it is a choice you can make. You have to ask yourself, are you Lord of your life, or is God Lord of your life? Are you sure? Because today you can be. You can be. Let me pray. Lord, sometimes your truth is heavy on our hearts. As like Paul, we struggle with sins we've committed. We struggle with thoughts in our head. We struggle with this life, this society, this culture that constantly is pulling us away from you and your truth. Help us to always hold in front of us your commandments. They are our guide. All your regulations in the Old Testament point to Jesus Christ, symbolic of who Jesus Christ was, a sacrificial lamb who died on the cross. If you don't know him today, I ask you to invite him into your heart. If you're not sure, ask the Lord to help you become sure. Talk to a friend that you know knows. Talk to your pastor. Your word is given to us to comfort us, to direct us, to guide us. Help us hang on with everything we have, because it is all we need. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.